By the way, the governor, as you heard Steve mention on the news, says the curfew will stay in effect apparently again tonight as well. And it will be, what, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. And I bring that up this morning, Blois Olson, because it sounds like up in the Morehead area they might get some help from our National Guard.
Yeah, late last night, overnight, they deployed the National Guard to the Morehead area based on some credible threats that law enforcement thought about Fargo and that they thought it could naturally spill over. The interesting thing is that yesterday during Governor Walz's news conference, he said that he had just had a call right before the news conference with Mayor John Judd in Morehead, and then this came out, I don't know, it might have been midnight last night. So they clearly were communicating early that there was going to be the need for assistance in the Morehead area, and so we'll kind of watch that throughout the day. But I think it goes to show that there's growing protests throughout the state, and the level of peacefulness is probably overwhelming of the protests, but there are still some concerns, and that unfortunately some of the threats of violent activities could spread.
You know, one of the interesting things that was said this past week was President Obama. And he talked about voting. And if you want your voice to be heard, let's start voting more for Americans, because not everybody votes, as you know, Blois. And now I guess I would ask you, as we look at the election coming up, do you think there'll be more voting this time around? Do you think it'll be far more active than it's been? And will that change elections here in our state?
I would think so. And I think you have to look at the different demographics. So, millennials will be the largest voting bloc this year, and that's one of the unknowns for everyone going into this election. How much will millennials vote? Of course, they're younger, and so younger people traditionally don't vote at the same rate as older voters. But I think, obviously, there's going to be a lot of efforts on turnout. I think it's been well documented that Hillary Clinton didn't do as well in the African-American community as President Obama did, and it probably cost her the election. And so you look at states like Wisconsin, you look at states like Michigan, you look at states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. Those are the key states that whoever wins is going to win those states. And there's large African-American populations there. And so they have to turn them out, and then you have to make sure that the young voters win if President Obama really wants to increase turnout. But I think here in Minnesota, we will continue to have high turnout, and it's the engagement in the election that I'm really watching, because not that we thought this was going to be a very civil election, but it is really hard. We're already to the point in June that it's really hard to talk politics with anybody other than, kind of agree what's an injustice or not. But people are pretty worn out already in June.
Have you seen that fiery emotion from our governor in the past, like we saw at yesterday's press conference at 5 o'clock?
I have. It's come out a few times in the COVID situation. It came out in the campaign trail. I study these governors and try to get to know them and understand their personality. And, I think this is his personality. I think the interesting thing is, when you have that much fire and that much emotion, it's exhausting for him and somewhat for Minnesota. Is not every day can you deliver a news conference like that. And if you think about it, he's been on a 8-9 week stretch here with some sort of major news every week. And so I'm trying to figure out if it's still resonating with people and if people are still connecting with it. And I think that's what we'll continue to watch.
Well, there's definitely, the focus he put on the special session, no doubt about it. So, Blois, what do you think will happen at special session? I mean, we've got a number of things to deal with now, including the one that they left on the table before they finished, and that's bonding.
Yeah, bonding is going to be the key chess piece, and it's going to have to come with some voting on reforms around police and racial issues and inclusion. They've laid out a series of reforms for police from the DFL and it's called the People of Color in Inclusion Caucus. They call it the Posse Caucus. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is a founding member of that caucus when she was in the legislature. So there's a lot of influence there. The Republicans have been relatively quiet this week. And so I actually plan on trying to kind of frame this up early next week to see what Republicans are thinking, what they can agree to, and how far they can get in this special session. But as I've said before, Dave, I think the special session is going to be long. I think it's going to last weeks, if not months, into the summer.
Will it be a cooperative?
I think the tone will be to start. I think the question is, do you get to a place of stalemate like they have in so many sessions before, where they're just looking at each other and can't come to an agreement? But I think everybody understands that, A, in an election year, and B, with these issues weighing so heavily, that it is of interest. But here's an example. Today, House members, all DFLers, are going to tour the damaged businesses. Why not do that with both parties and the House and the Senate, and try to, you know, kind of have a common vision or a common understanding of what's going on? They've already kind of started to go into their partisan positions a week and a half before a special session, and frankly, too soon after George Floyd's death.
The on a different subject now, I saw this yesterday. Mm-hmm. I want to bring up the MPCA, our Pollution Control Agency, and Enbridge. What's going on there?
They did what they call a contested hearing. So now there's one more layer for Enbridge's Line 3 project. The PCA made that determination yesterday. Enbridge says it's okay because they know that this means that it's going to be a solid process, that it's going to be beyond reproach. Activists are happy because it's one more kind of hurdle in their efforts to block Line 3. And then, you know, I want to disclose that Enbridge is a pretty big sponsor of Morning Take and the newsletter. And so it doesn't cloud my views, but I always want to be transparent about that.
Boyce, nursing homes, we've seen Senator Housley very, very animated about what's going on there. Is there any news there today?
Yeah, they had a hearing the other day, and they're looking at it. The interesting thing is somebody sent me some data yesterday. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. I didn't really have time to look at it yesterday, but that shows Minnesota compared to the rest of the nation. And while this narrative has been that Minnesota has been worse than the rest of the nation, it may not be as bad as people have made it out to be. I think the biggest frustration for everybody is they've said it remains a focus and it hasn't changed anything. Although the numbers in Minnesota this week have changed, especially the June 2nd. So we'll continue to watch that closely, and I don't think that's an issue that's going to go away. I think that is an issue you're going to see through Election Day.
All right, thank you, Blois. Coming up in a few minutes, by the way, Don Lewis, a former special prosecutor in the Philando Castile case, will join us here on WCCO at about 10 before 7. Right now, our time at WCCO, 627. He's Blois Olson, Dave Lee here. We're going to check the news with Steve in 3 minutes. Jerry also has a look at your early morning traffic on this Thursday.